Hello again, and welcome to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. 4Play is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at 4playrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@4playrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Lori. Hi.
Hi, Adam.
How are you?
Good. I'm really good. You know what? We have a special thing that we want to offer people today.
Okay.
And I want to talk about it. We are so grateful for the listeners. Again, we thank you for your emails. Sometimes we get like multiple emails from one person, which is so great. It's like they listen to us, then they hear what they want to hear. They say something back. It's almost conversational. And we know who you are out there, and we thank you for listening, and yes. We are grateful for the people who spread the news about our podcast, because we know it's really hard to talk about sex in this culture, and just telling your friends about it means that they can have a safe place to listen to us talk about it and hopefully improve their own relationship sexually with better communication and better ideas and understanding. But our offer is for the first three people who give us a review, which is kind of a hassle. You have to be on your desktop computer to do it. You can't just do it from your phone. You have to go to iTunes and go to 4Play and then write a review and rate us, you know, rate and review. We're only going to do it for the first three people, but we're going to put your names in a hat, draw one of the names, and then we're going to send you a book. So what we need from you is to write the review and then send us an email at info@4playrst.com so that we know who you are, so we can get you the book. And we're going to send you one of my books, Wanting Sex Again, for free. I'll autograph it, you know, and, you know, put your name in it or anything you'd like. Or if you want to give it to your partner, that would be great. We would so appreciate it, because we know that one of the big ways to spread the podcast is really through reviews.
Yeah, that is, that's some good odds right there. 33% to 0.3, 33.3 chance of winning a free book. So that's great. So.
Yeah, and we're going to offer this every once in a while. So if you miss it, you know, you can still do that. And if anybody really wants to buy a book and send it to me, I'll definitely autograph it and send it back to you, postage on me. Yeah. But this one, we're going to send it to you for free. So we appreciate all of you who have already done that. I think we have 75 reviews, which is fantastic for our length of time. And we're looking to do 250. That's our goal. So yeah. By end of year. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this is also airing right after Hurricane Irma came through.
Yes.
And so we also just want to extend our sympathies and thoughts and prayers to everybody that's been affected
Absolutely.
By
Harvey,
that.
Harvey, Irma, and what's behind us, right?
Jose coming back behind that too.
This is just a really, and the earthquake in Mexico, you know, our hearts are with, you know, the people who are suffering around the world and around the United States with so many weather related and, you know, earth shaking events, really. We're thinking of you.
I want to encourage you to, like, you know, thoughts and prayers are good. Donations are, even better. So get with the Red Cross. Get with your favorite charity as well.
Absolutely. Established organizations who you know.
Yeah, and donate for sure. So
So today.
Today we are talking about, last week we talked about anxiously and avoidantly attached individuals and what that does to your couple relationship.
Sexually,
yeah.
Right.
And we want to talk about today about how to create security and safety in your relationships and begin to build back that into your relationship so that your sex life is the best that it possibly can be, right?
Exactly.
So that it is hot, right? Yeah. And we talked about two different ways, and you can tell me which way you want to talk about. There's responsibility, you know, obviously on both of the couple, the individual and the couple relationships part, to kind of build that safety and security into the relationship, right? And so there's a responsibility that I have to myself to build that safety and security. And there is a responsibility that I have to my partner and to respond to them in a way that creates safety and security in your relationship as well.
I have a college-age son who we've been talking a lot about how secure attachment is really the basis for success in your work and success in interpersonal relationships. Right. And you know, he's listening and he's starting to buy in a little bit. and basically he said to me, you know, yeah, it's like, I want to find a securely attached person, Mom, but like, how do I get securely attached?
That's right.
And so, I mean, I think that is a really great question.
Yeah. So let's start with like just ourselves, right?
Okay.
And what we do, because there are injuries that we've had to our attachment, right? And so there's things that trigger us that create a sense of insecurity or create a sense that things, that the relationship is not safe and it's not safe enough to risk, particularly sexually, right? Because we've talked about sex being a vulnerable act.
To risk passion, to risk, you know, telling our fantasies, to risk like openness and vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is within safety, we believe, that hot sex is more likely.
Yeah. So I have to begin to deal with those triggers of my own, right, that may or may not be what is actually happening. For instance, if I had a highly critical mother, right,
yes.
That would be, that was always criticizing me, that was always telling me that I was wrong or that I wasn't good enough or in either directly.
Damn kitchen isn't clean enough.
Yeah.
That's what I always told my kids.
Or my room. It was always about my room or my grades or it was just, if there was just a constant stream of criticism, right? Then I'm going to be triggered by any kind of thing that I perceive as criticism, even if it's a legitimate concern from my spouse. If my spouse comes to me and expresses sexual need or says, why haven't you done the thing that I've asked you to do that's really helpful to me, or why haven't you know, responded back to me in this way, that if she comes to me with a legitimate concern or criticism, then I'm going to react as if all the safety has gone out of the relationship.
And react, isn't it, that like you are being personally attacked?
Yes.
When your partner expresses a need or a disappointment.
So don't you think that I have to then begin, if it's me, I'm using hypotheticals here, but if that's the case for me, then
sure,
I have to
know be, your wife would never express sexual disappointment or disappointment in who you are.
Not at all. Satisfaction guaranteed, baby. I come with a money back guarantee.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, let's move on from that really quickly. Pretend like that didn't happen. So what do you think, Lori, about how do we begin to kind of deal with our own triggers and the things that, you know, we talked about the difficulty of differentiation last week, but that there is a sense that I have to be my own self and be secure in myself
right,
so that I can offer
security. There's a healing inside of ourselves that needs to happen, a stability inside ourselves. And then there's something that we give to our partner that stabilizes the relationship, which we think, honestly, that marriage and committed partnership is the number one place that people can develop emotional safety and secure attachment, second to really therapy, because therapy is, that's the whole basis of it, is somebody who listens intently, who focuses and helps you do this growth with assistance. But okay, so let's pretend you're one or the other. Which one do you want to be in your partnership? Anxiously attached. Okay. So you're anxiously attached, and your partner comes to you and says, you know, oh, Adam, you know, you didn't listen to how I like it.
Yeah.
And you start to feel kind of panicky. And underneath that panic, I mean, on the surface, it's like this insult. I'm not a good lover. I should know I'm a man. I shouldn't need to be told. I don't even like you telling me. There's all these surface kinds of defensive arguments that defend against hearing our partner as a true and separate other, right? But the reason for that defensiveness is something inside you. If you're an anxiously attached person, so the basis in you that can't hear that is because inside, what happens to you?
Yeah, I'm being self-critical of myself.
Yeah, it matches something inside you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so being able to lower that defensiveness, to really be able just to truly hear what is it that my partner needs in that, is what you're saying there.
Right, and so how can we turn down the static?
You have to begin to counter kind of, for lack of a better expression, the voices in your head.
Yeah.
Right? We have a narrative that is constantly running about who we are, our identity, what makes us us, and our parents' voices are oftentimes the loudest voices.
Yeah.
Right? We can't
deny. I often
say
that to people. Whose voice is that?
Yeah.
Who's telling you that?
Who's telling you that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
hoping that they associate to the familiarity of it.
And I think if we had secure attachment growing up, that part of secure attachment meant that we developed our own voice in our head and mm-hmm. one that we were confident that we were listening to.
Well, also, I think that we incorporate a positive, nurturing, self-forgiving voice.
I
saw this poster recently, and I thought, gosh, I wish I'd put that up in my kid's bathroom. You know, and it's basically make as many mistakes as possible.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like learning from that, right? Mm. If we can make as many mistakes as possible, you know, then we can develop the light bulb, you know, then we can be expert lovers because we learn from that.
Yeah.
So that's a way of being self-forgiving. I was thinking, you know, one strategy is to turn down the noise in your head is to use reflective listening.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think that it slows down the conversation, not only for our partner, for them to feel listened to, but for us to collect our wits.
Mm.
You know, when our partner is saying, you know, well, you didn't touch me the way I told you to touch me and the way I really like it. It's like, okay, so you were disappointed in this last sexual encounter. I didn't touch you the way you keep telling me is really important. It was like in the moment of passion, I somehow or another got lost in myself. I didn't hear you. See, I'm not saying, you're right, I'm a dirtbag, and I'm lousy for forgetting, and I'm not defending either, saying I did forget or I didn't forget. I'm just hearing, and it gives my own brain a chance to slow down and then to think, right? Because I think what happens in our reactivity is we stop thinking.
Oh, absolutely.
We're just reacting.
Our emotions takes over. Yeah, we're emotionally reactive. Yeah.
Our body, our blood pressure goes up. You know, our body gets activated in a bad way,
mm-hmm.
and we stop using our brain to mitigate the situation.
Yeah. I also think that we oftentimes take responsibility for other people's feelings, right? And so, like, we have to stop doing that, especially with our partner. We have to allow feelings to be value neutral, right?
Right.
And that means that they're just feelings. And so I don't, you know, part of holding myself in a secure place is I not taking responsibility for your feelings, and I get to then respond to your feelings and be with you in your feelings rather than having this running dialogue in my head about all the reasons why the feelings that you're feeling are telling me that I'm wrong or that there's something that's bad or injured about me.
Yeah, imperfect about you or something.
And I think that's just such an important thing, and that allows us to hold ourselves in balance, right? I think that's coming to a balanced place of identity with myself where I'm okay with my flaws and I'm honest about my flaws, but I'm also honest about my strengths and what I'm good at. And holding that in balance allows me to then respond appropriately to my partner. I don't hear them when they're critical about something that is happening with me, I can say, oh yeah, that's honest, that's true. I do that and I need to be better at that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it also says, well, I think I'm pretty good at this area. That's the positive voice that oftentimes is missing, right?
Right.
That affirmation voice that sometimes gets messed up in insecure attachment that we have to find a way to start replacing and start speaking more to ourselves.
Right, but I can make mistakes because I'm human, but that doesn't mean I'm still not good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're good. It's okay to make mistakes.
Right.
We're going to be right back with more from 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with Dr. Adam Matthews and sex therapist Lori Watson.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net.
Hey, we're back with 4Play Radio Sex Therapy and your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. And we're talking about attachment theory and how to become securely attached and what that does to open up the sexual relationship, right? Because anxiously attached people, the sexual pursuer often believes that the other is controlling the sexual situation. And avoidantly attached people are often dialing down in attunement to their own sexual desire, mm-hmm. not being able to vulnerably, you know, enter the sexual relationship. So they may have low desire, which is not consciously a strategy, but sometimes an emotional pullback. Mm. And we want to help you become more securely attached as a person and in your relationship so that we can have that secure, safe place to be open to wild sex.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, to be able to be vulnerable and risk
hot sex.
Yeah, because okay. it is that, right?
Yeah.
And so we talked about before some strategies that I can do to control my own anxiety, the things that are happening inside of me. But I wonder what we can offer to our partners as well, is how do we engage in the relationship in such a way that makes it safe and secure, mm-hmm. that builds that secure attachment, mm-hmm. In our relationship, right? And what we can begin to do and offer in that way.
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit about bids, right? Mm-hmm. That responding to our partner's bid for attention, which is not necessarily waving a flag that says, hey, I need your attention, but it might be any comment, you know, from look at the cardinal outside to, you know, what do you want for dinner to, hey, you know, how about tonight? Mm-hmm. All of those are bids for an interaction with our partner.
Man, that's turning towards the relationship instead of turning away.
Right.
Attachment is so based too in the emotional world, mm-hmm. right? It has its expressions in the physical world, but it is about responding to those emotions as well. And one of the things that I think we offer to our partner is a safe place to express those emotions, right? Lori, did you ever do a trust fall exercise with
totally.
A group?
Totally. I grew up in groups and absolutely. I did hundreds of them.
Yeah. I think I did too. I don't know if they still do them. I haven't done one
in
a while. They
do them in the business world. I mean, there's all sorts of trust fall kind of activities.
Like, I mean, if you've never experienced a trust fall, basically you're up on a 6-foot platform, you know, with your back turned to a group that you're trying to, is expressing trust to you, and they have to catch you. You have to lean back and fall back blind and let them and trust that they're going to catch you, right?
Yeah.
And just such a terrifying experience if you've never done it. Doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah.
But for most people, it's a risk, right?
Right. And if you're allergic to dependency, that is really hard to do.
Right. It really tests you. So I think, say all that to say, I think in relationships, and tell me what you think about this, Lori, but that in relationships that we engage in emotional trust falls all the time, right? They can be really small ones. They can be, from just things such as, let me tell you about how frustrating my day was, mm-hmm. to really big ones where you really say, to do this sexually, it's a big risk for me, right? Mm-hmm. And I, anything mm-hmm. like that, where we're offering to our partner what is going on in our inner world is a trust fall exercise. It's an emotional trust fall. And as the partner, I have to be able to catch my wife when she does that emotionally.
Right.
That means that I have to make it safe for her to make that expression. And I just don't think people are good at that. And I think most of us are not good at that. We say things like, well, you shouldn't feel this way. Or you don't have to feel that way. Let me fix it for you. Or, you know, haven't you thought about this? And we don't create a safe place for them to express their emotion and be who they are that moment.
I think that we miss it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that we realize our partner is doing a trust fall with us either.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like, you know, the ramp up to an argument, or it's going to be a complaint, or I need to get ready to guard myself. I mean, we don't realize that there's such vulnerability in offering that up. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't know that they just want us to catch them.
Mm-hmm. And so if I'm either anxiously or avoidantly attached, right, I stop offering those things up. If I'm anxiously attached, I stop talking about how much I need something, or I just grow really angry.
Yeah.
Right. And so my emotion comes out as anger rather than as need and desire. And if I'm avoidantly attached, I just stop talking, period. I stop offering anything up, mm-hmm. and I completely withdraw and shut down inside.
I think I talk about pursuers, both emotional and sexual pursuers, and there are often stages in the relationship where they give up and they become the distancer. And that's, you know, what the research says, which Gottman says, you know, that is the part of them that has given up is really one of the four horsemen of the relational apocalypse. You know, and so that's like a warning, right, that our relationship is in peril.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do we catch our partner, Adam? How do we catch them when they do the trust fall?
Well, there's a couple things that I think we offer up to people. And I think one of them is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to learn, for most of us, empathy is learned. It's not an automatic response for humans, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And empathy is difficult because Brené Brown has a great video on the difference between sympathy and empathy. And we tend to offer sympathy more than we offer empathy.
Uh-huh.
And she talks about that empathy is climbing down into the hole with the person, right? That emotionally, things like depression, anxiety, any kind of, even just grief, any kind of like dark emotion that comes up, or difficult emotion that comes up, you probably shouldn't say dark, but just difficult, it knocks us kind of into a hole. And empathy is getting down and experiencing that emotion with the person and connecting to something in ourselves that is similar, that we felt before. We may have never gone through exactly what they've experienced, right? But we have experienced maybe a rejection or a loss or something that we can connect with, that we can offer genuinely to that person, as opposed to sympathy, which most of us have been taught to offer, which is, you know, reaching down and saying, oh, that's really too bad. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Brené Brown says that we offer at least, right? At least you're not this way. At least, you know, you had a miscarriage, and you say, well, at least you can still have children. At least you can still have children, right? Something like that. And so sexually, like, that happens as well. We talk about our sexual feelings and our partner says, well, you know, at least we have this. At least I only had an affair once, or at least it was just emotional, and we invalidate those feelings as opposed to offering empathy and trying to get in, connect with our partner and understand.
Right. And empathy would be more like, I hear you. It's so painful what you're going through. And I remember, like, you know, I mean, the difficulty is it's double down, right? Because usually our partner, the difficulty is when they're expressing painful things that we've done to them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one thing for them to express a painful issue at work, and hopefully we can match that and catch them in that trust fall. But it's when they're saying, this isn't working for me. Let's say it's the sexual pursuer who says, I really need more sex.
Mm.
You know, and you're the sexually distancing partner. Like, how do you catch that? Because they're obviously saying what is being provided is not enough. But I would say, you know, first of all, say, you know, I hear you. Sex for you is deeply, deeply important. It's how you feel most connected to me. It's simply like feeling, you know, feeding it back in some ways with care, you know, without defensiveness, by saying, you know, I know it's important for me too to feel connected. I know how important that is. And this is what you're saying. You're saying it's really important for you to feel connected to me, and how you do that, how you, you know, most favor that is sexually. And when we're not having sex very frequently, you feel lost. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel lost to you and you feel lost from me. Mm-hmm. It's knowing what it feels like to be unattached, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that's the deepest thing that gets triggered in conflict, is an unconscious belief that somehow or other there's a rupture in the relationship that will leave us without our partner.
Mm.
You know, I mean, most of our seeking of connection is about this fear of somehow or another I will be alone in the world. And I really think that as humans, we're kind of designed, if you will, from the very earliest ages to seek attachment so that we're safer. Mm. You know, our survival is more guaranteed. I think going through adulthood with a partner is a better way to live.
Yeah.
You know, you can face the winds and storms together, and it's better.
Yeah, and there's an acceptance there too of everything about you. Everything that's ever been rejected about you leading up to when you move into this, your committed relationship, like you're looking for that acceptance, and you're, for better or worse, right? I think there's good and bad about this, but a lot of times we move into those relationships thinking it's going to fix everything.
Sure.
Right. And there is some good in that of going, this is supposed to be the safe relationship that I've always wanted.
Yes.
You know, and the bad in that, the difficulty in that is going, that doesn't really happen.
Well,
right?
I think that it's the belief that it automatically happens.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, that somehow or another, our desire for the relationship to be the secure place, that our partner should be that secure person without any growth in them, without any growth in us, and without us co-creating that.
Mm.
I'm not saying that our partner meets every need. That's
right.
Unrealistic. But in terms of providing a safety place, I think that is realistic. And I think that, but it's work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's totally a lot of work.
You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
And we have to do that, I think, in committed partnership in order to offer that safe place for hot sex.
Mm.
I'm not talking cozy. I'm talking about tolerance of intimacy, of deep connection, and tolerance of our partner's separateness and different ideas and even different ways to express sexual pleasure and all of that. I mean, both things are rough.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to grow, like you said earlier in the podcast, we have to develop ourselves, and we have to develop a way to offer this to our partner.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for listening. This is Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. Please do a rate and review for us, and I'm sure you'll hear that in one of the ads too, but we will send you a book. Thanks. Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.